We are just so happy to have Brother Kingwall Reprasad with us tonight. And I've known Brother Kingwall a long time. I was just thinking tonight when I saw him that he stayed at a house where we used to live in Flushing. Not a long time ago. We've been out here in Cedarhurst now since 97, so it's been a while. But we've been supporting him for quite a few years too. We've known him a long time, and we do appreciate him and the good work he's doing in Trinidad. And there'll be quite a few members from Trinidad too, so I know you're happy to see some of your fellow countrymen. I preach the word tonight. So without any further ado, Brother Kingwall, we thank God for you, and you go to it, buddy.
It's good to be back here again today with you all. I look forward to this trip. I didn't look forward to the cold. I came from Norfolk, Virginia, and they had a 3-hour layover. And then when we got into JFK, they had another hour and 45 minutes wait to get at the gate. And Tuesday was really a mess, but thank God I'm here. Good to see one of you today. And Pastor Weiss said, I don't look one bit older than I looked many years ago. Well, that's great. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just share one of the things with you real quick. And I believe the New Testament principle that is laid out in the book of Acts, when Paul came back, he went to the church of Antioch and reported to them what the Lord had been doing. And I think it is right and proper that I stand here for a few minutes and just share with you what the Lord has been doing over the last couple of years since I've been here with you. God has been good. He has been blessing. He has been working in a marvelous way. By the way, good to see so many Trinidadians here tonight. Amen?
Yes.
If I get a little bit carried away and start to preach long, you know it's not my fault, it's their fault, all right? And good to see Angela, her mom, and several of you other folks. Since last being here, I went back and I've been praying for a long time that God would give me a couple of men. I realized that since I came into the Lord's work in 1966, that's something like 42 years this coming September, this body is getting a little bit older now, and it can't do as much as it used to do. And I started praying a while back that God would give me a couple of men, half a dozen to a dozen men. And over the years, God has given us some good men and good women. They have gone to Bible school. They are returning now. Some of them are already on the field. Last 2 weeks back, I was in Barbados for the ordination of one of the men. He is now serving in Bolivia. And it's a tremendous blessing to see what the Lord has been doing. Right at our church now, we have 4 of them. And that's a great blessing. November of last year, I went into I don't like to use the word, but it's a semi-retirement pastorate job now. You all understand that? Good. I believe that God has given to me a new ministry. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in this new ministry. But let me go back to the business of November of last year. I called a church together and I said, folks, I believe God is leading me in a different direction, and I would like to give the church at least a year. And my son-in-law now has become the pastor of the church, and he is doing exceptionally well. One of the boys who came back from St. Vincent is working in the church as the youth pastor. Together with that, two of our boys graduated last May. One has since returned back to St. Vincent to teach for a year because the gentleman that was teaching a national wanted to come to the States to further his education to go back to the school. The other one is Timothy, and Timothy is with me. Now, God has been truly blessing and providing. And you continue to pray because we are still a long ways off of raising his support. I've asked several of my supporting churches if God would lay upon their heart as little as $25 would help me to help him stay on the field. And so when I met with the church on November, I told them this is the new ministry that I believe God has laid upon my heart. There were many things I wanted to do in the ministry, but God did not allow me to do it. I think when you go back in the Old Testament, you will realize that David had a great desire. And David's desire was to build the temple of the Lord. And God says, David, I have reserved that for Solomon. However, I'm going to allow you to be a part of it by gathering the material for Solomon to do the work. And I think now, I was telling the pastor's wife a couple more months again, and I'll be reaching the big 60. My family planned to make me a big cake with a big 60 on the cake. So at age 60, there's not a whole lot but to do what David did. And so now, working with the Bread of Life Baptist Mission out from Texas, they have in 2005 appointed me as the Caribbean and South American director for the mission. And so God has been allowing me to travel and be in churches and present these burdens. And God is beginning to work and open doors so that our young men would not have to come here in the States on deputation. Now you say there's something wrong with that. I tell you what, over the years we have had too many students to come to the United States, study, graduate, and never went back. Yeah. There is a great need for workers in the islands.
Yeah.
And so over the years we found a school in St. Vincent. I personally went there, spent 2 days, met with them, looked at what is taking place and so forth. And I felt that is the place for us to send our young men and young women to be trained. And so they have been trained in the Caribbean. They go back to their respective islands. And they are not 100% exposed to the United States and a better life. I'll tell you something, it's a temptation not to want to stay here. Don't you agree? And so this is what we are about to do now, is to be able to raise some support and keep our men on the island and do the work for the Lord.
Amen.
Parkway Baptist Church, a year and a half ago, 2 years rather, they jumped on the wagon and they have been helping me greatly to help these young men on the field.
Amen.
And other churches have too. And I trust you all will get a burden likewise.
Amen.
I was home recuperating from my surgery. I probably may have sent a letter to you all informing you what about my physical condition. They had to replace one disc and repair two discs in my neck. And so they cut open the hip and they took bone from there and they went up there. So I'm kind of crisscross, you know what I mean? My hip is in my neck right now. I was home recuperating and a gentleman came to visit with me. He's lost. He's been a good friend over the years. I've married 4 of his children already. I go back home in March to do the last wedding for his children. So he came by and visited, and as he was leaving, he said something to me. He said, I have 4 lots of land in this area for sale. I said, how much you asking? He said, $200,000. I said, listen, don't tell anybody anything. I'm going to buy it. After he left, my wife looked at me and she said, you crazy. How are you going to find $200,000? I said, that's why God made banks. Well, the fact of the matter is that land now in my area is $150,000 a lot.
Wow.
And this man was asking $200,000 for 4 lots. I felt good. I said, well, you know, somehow you're going to get it. Went to the bank. The bank says, no problem, see Mr. Rampersad, get X, Y, and Z, and we're going to have it, and we're going to buy the land for you. Well, a month passed, and then I didn't hear from him, and so I decided to call him. And I said, Pastor, what about the land? So he asked me, he said, Pastor, the church property, is it paid for, is it rented land? I said, no, the church is debt-free. He said, oh. He said, well, Shirley and I have decided not to settle man. And I felt rather disappointed. Man has a steal of a deal. You don't let that go. You know? He said, but I tell you what we decided to do. He said, you remember we raised a little boy for baby? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, Shirley and I have decided to give that little boy 2 lots, and we're going to give you the next 2 lots.
Amen.
He said, you do what you want with it.
Amen.
But the good thing is that I found out just recently they are coming to put 150 houses in that area. So the Lord beginning to open some doors long before those homes are there. You all pray.
Yeah.
Because folks, we don't want to lose our young men and our young men, and young women to America. We want to keep them on the island and work with them.
Yeah.
Middle last year, I went to a funeral of one of my relatives in the Carony area. I was raised in the Carony area, born and raised in the Carony area. The village that I was raised in is in the middle of 5 villages now. You all don't know that. You think it's still 3, eh? It's not La Paz and it's not Carony and Hallam anymore. They added 2 more villages alongside of these others. So I went back there for a funeral and I came to my father's old place. It's been abandoned for years now. And I pulled up along the street and I parked there and I said, Lord, it'd be nice if you let me have this place. I could use it for your glory. And I drove off 2 weeks after my sister called me. My sister and myself haven't been very close. You know, she, over the years, kind of distanced herself from me. And so I got a call and she said, I'd like for you to come. I want to see you. I said, okay. And I went. And she says, have a seat. I sat down and she started talking. She said, you know, recently God has been dealing with my heart about a property in Carony. And I've decided to give it to you. Now, you have to know me. I start cleaning all the wax out and, you know, making sure that I was really hearing what she was saying. And she said, I want to give it to you. Now, I know you want to put a church there, but you can't because it is zoned for a single dwelling house. I said, that's all right. To every front door, there is a back door. You know, you just got to look for it. And you know, they didn't say that I can't build a house with a big family room. Amen.
Amen,
so the plans are already in. And if all goes well, hopefully that we will be able to put this building in and have us an auditorium. And I shouldn't say auditorium, that's a wrong word. I got to say a family room.
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to have a family room 16 feet wide by 60 feet long.
Amen.
Amen. And you all pray for us that God is going to really work out these things that is in the pipeline right now for us. Now this is where my new ministry comes in. I'm going to take Timothy and go into this Carony area and help him start this work. And I trust that you all would pray for us. Carony is not an easy area. It is like the Bronx, the village I came from. And one time they called it Harlem. And truly it lived up to its name in the past. And I'm thankful that God has laid this burden upon our hearts to go there. He's opening up doors for us to go there and do a work for the Lord. On top of that, I have a call to go to Guyana. I'm trusting the Lord to work out the details. And trusting the Lord to make the provision necessary. I'd like to go in April. I don't know what it's going to cost me. I never worry about the cost. You all know something? In the past 10 years, I haven't paid for a ticket.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
A couple of years ago, I was here in the States, and a friend of mine called me and said, what are you doing in the morning? I said, well, nothing. He said, well, let's go have breakfast. I said, fine. And he called up and he said, come on, hop in, let's go. And knowing this brother, I thought to myself, we're going to go for a good breakfast at Hardee's and get some great biscuit and gravy. Amen. I mean, if you all don't like gravy, I mean, something wrong to you. Maybe you're backslidden or something, you know. But I love the gravy. My wife tells me when I come to the table, I must put on my beach clothes. I said, woman, I have no beach clothes. I don't go to the beach. She said, you'd like to see everything swimming around in your place. Well, I love gravy. But he passed parties, and I was beginning to wonder. I said, Jack, where are you going? He said, man, we're going to eat like white folks today. I said, okay. Just went to Holiday Inn. Not at the Hilton Hotel. And I said, man, Jack, if you were coming here, you could have told the man, at least I'd dress a little different. He said, no, man, don't worry about that. You're good. So we went in, and we had breakfast. And after we finished having breakfast, he reached in his back pocket, and he pulled out his card. And he put it there for the waiter to take it and take care of the bill and come back. He said, so let me tell you how this thing works. I said, all right, Jack, go ahead. He said, that's not no credit card. That's not an ordinary credit card. I said, what's that, Jack? He said, that is a faith card. He said, you're a man of God? I said, yes, sir. He says, I am a man of God. And God knows that we're supposed to eat, so we're going to eat. And when I go back home, I put it on that faith card, and when I go back home, I'm going to call the Father. I'm going to call my Father, and I'm going to tell him about it. And you know what he does? He calls the whole family together. And they all chip in and pay for it. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good God. Amen? And it's amazing to see how God takes care of his children.
Amen.
Going to Guyana is not a worry for me. And I believe if God wants me to go, he'll provide for me. Amen?
Amen.
He'll provide for me. But I found out there is a work started in the interior of Guyana, and they want me to come to it. The work is now about 8 months to a year old. We have to go there by boat. There's no other means of transportation to get there. And once you get there, there is no road, and no running water, and no electricity. There are 38 hammocks in a house. And the folks come up in the evening, and they have church. And they have church. And they have church. Because they sent me a picture of the folks singing 11:30 in the night. And they get a little hour, 2 hours sleep, and 5 o'clock in the morning, they get in their little boats and they go back to wherever they came from. What an assembly. It's nice to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you folks kind of gripe and grump sometimes when the preaching goes a little long. But listen, when we get to heaven, that's all you're going to be hearing. Amen?
Amen.
I'm longing for that day just to sit at his feet and fellowship with him.
Amen.
Walk around and meet Moses and Aaron and some of the great saints of God. Water is going to be a great time. So you all pray for the ministries that God has burdened my heart for, that we'd be able to do something more for the Lord with the resources that we have. I want to thank you all for your support and your prayers over the years. Continue to pray that God will give me health and strength. This last couple of months I've been having some terrible chest pains. And I went to the cardiologist's home, one of the best that we have in the island. They ran some tests and they said, we are not happy with what results we're getting, and we would like to order an angiogram. Now, knowing my country, it takes 6 months to a year to get that. If you want it right away, you pay $10,000 in a private hospital, and you can have it in a week's time or a few days' time. And I said to him, I don't have the money, so I'll have to depend on the government service. In the meantime, I said, look, you know, I'm going to make the trip. My wife said, Dad, the older you get, the more you travel. I said, well, that's what the Lord wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to do, amen? And she said, but when you make this trip, you're not feeling so up to it. Why in the world are you going? I said, you know something? If I go to the States and I die, it's just like dying here. But dying with your shoes on is better than dying doing nothing for the Lord.
Amen.
And I came in on the 1st and on the 4th. 3rd, 4th. On the 4th I had these pains so bad they rushed me in Chesapeake General, and by midnight they realized that things were not what they thought it was, and so They moved me from number four the next day to number one for the catheterization. The good news is they didn't find any blockage. You know, my wife said I got a bad heart, but I got a good heart. Amen. And if you have a bad heart tonight, listen, Jesus can fix it.
Yeah.
And it can become a good heart, a clean heart for the Lord. When I went home last fall, at the end, just about the end of the fall, my grandson and myself, we sat down. And by the way, I have four children and look like 103 grandchildren. They're living right across, they're sleeping across the street from me. You all know what I mean? They're at my house all the time. The other day I told Grace, I said, Grace. She said, yes, Daddy. I said, listen to me and listen to me good. I said, you have half an hour visitation right. After that, take them and go home. But it's wonderful to have grandchildren, amen. My oldest would be 9 this coming May, and we sat on November looking at Sheffy, the movie Sheffy. Then he came over and he hugged me up and he said, Father, I think it's time for you to slow down now, you know. But you know something? There is no place in God's work for retirement.
That's right. Amen.
But there's always room for refinement. That we will be again fired up for the Lord.
Amen.
To keep on going on for the Lord.
Amen.
And I trust tonight that you would continue to pray for us there, pray for my physical needs, pray for the young men that God has given to us. We have 4 of them now. And pray that God will continue to open doors and provide the needs so that we can go on with the work of the Lord. I thank God so much that He has allowed me these 42 years this coming September to be involved in His work. I don't know if I could have been happy doing anything else other than what I am doing right now.
Amen.
Just to be a part to serve the Lord. You know, as a little boy growing up, I always had an ambition. And you have to understand, coming from a British background, the Queen meant everything to us. And I used to dream as a little boy, what would be a wonderful thing one day, you know, maybe just to be in the palace and work for the Queen, even just to, you know, clean the stables. But I have good news for you. I'm not working for the Queen of England. I'm working for the King of Kings.
And Lord
of
Kings.
But I'm looking forward to seeing Him someday. Take your Bibles. That was only just a little introduction. The book of Luke. Chapter 19. Last September, one of our men had open heart surgery, and 2 weeks ago he was in church and he said this to me. He said, Pastor, you need to change your way of preaching. You use up too much energy. You have a PA system, Pastor. Use the PA system. But I guess I've been used to preaching this way, it's hard for me to change. You know? He said, you got to take it a little bit easy. So we're in the book of Luke, chapter 19. Just a few verses. And I want to share a challenge with you tonight. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he came nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering, he shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shalt thou say unto him, because the Lord or Master hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord or Master hath need of him. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this portion of Scripture. We pray that you will bless it to the hearts of your people. Use it this evening, dear God, to challenge us and to stir our hearts afresh and anew, that we might again recommit ourselves to the great work whereunto thou hast called us. Blessed we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've just celebrated Christmas. I guess the next Christian holiday that is upon us would be Easter. It is wonderful this afternoon to hear your pastor speaking about plans for Easter. Easter is a wonderful time. It is a time when we think of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a time that it gives us great opportunities to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And my friend, you and I must be careful to utilize every opportunity that God has given to us. I say to the people time and again, God will not and God cannot hold us responsible for the conversion of souls. It is not my business, it is not your business to save people. But it's your business and my business when God has given to us opportunities to witness for Him, to be an example for Him, to testify about Him. And when we fail, God will hold us responsible. I remember going back home last year, and I was really in a lot of pain. And I said, Lord, I just would like if you would give me a good neighbor to sit beside me, that I would be comfortable enough to go back home. And sure enough, he sent a little skinny girl like this. So that gave me a little more room, that I can spread my wings out and be a little more comfortable on the aircraft. Now you know they're making these aircrafts now with the seats a whole lot smaller now. I don't know why, but it seems to me the leg room and the seats and everything are getting a little bit smaller every day. But after an hour rest on the aircraft, I got up only to realize that she was reading her Bible. And I struck a conversation with her, and I began to talk to her, and she told me that she was at the University of Virginia, going to school, finishing up her master's degree. And I said, well, what would, you know, carry you back home right this hour, and, you know, this is school time. She said, Pastor, my father is dying. I am on the last stretch for my master's degree. But I felt my degree is not important or as important as leaving it aside and going home, that I might be able to be a witness and a testimony to him.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us would put our education on the line. I wonder how many of us would put what we term the important things in our life on the line that we might reach somebody for Christ. And that young girl, I sat with her the rest of the journey and we had a wonderful time. We prayed together. And I was able to point her to a church that would be near to her home place when she gets back there. And I said to the young lady, I can be of any help to you. This is my number, call on me. And I would be more than happy to come and be of some assistance if I can. What I'm trying to say this evening is that going home to witness to her daddy was more important to her than staying here and getting her master's degree.
Yeah.
Folks, may God stir our hearts, that we might understand
and why education is important, and why careers are important, and why making money is important. The most important thing in the Christian life is to be able to reach somebody for Christ.
Amen.
Here in this passage of Scripture, no doubt you have read it many times. And sometimes the Word of God becomes so familiar that we read it and we pass over some great truths. And how many times, no doubt, I have read this passage of Scripture and never saw what God laid on my heart in recent times concerning this passage of Scripture. In this passage of Scripture, no doubt we focus on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ comes in on a donkey, riding into Jerusalem. He came in as a man of peace, not a man of war. A man of war would come on a horse or a horseback. Here he comes as a man of peace, the Messiah. And you know, we go over this passage of Scripture many times, and the thing that struck me here was the fact that is mentioned in verse number 32. And they that were sent, or not 32, sorry, 29. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man shall loose him, and bring him hither. And he says, if any man ask of you, what do ye loose him? Thus shalt thou say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Now I don't know tonight, the Bible talks about two people owning these animals. It might could be one own the donkey and one own the foal of the donkey. Maybe they live in the same house, I do not know. But we realize here that when Jesus sent forth these two disciples to go and to fetch this donkey and the foal of the donkey, that no doubt this man must have been sitting, and I like to kind of imagine in my mind that here was this man, the owner, and I want to put it as one primary owner. He was sitting, no doubt, on his front porch and having a good cup of coffee. Amen. It seems that we don't have a lot of coffee drinkers in here. My wife fussed at me all the time until just the other day I found an article that says that coffee is good for diabetics. And boy, was I happy. And I said, woman, read this. She fussed all the time. You know, I like a good cup of coffee every once in a while, 3-4 for the day maybe. And you know, that upsets her. But I guess, you know, the more coffee you drink, the less you eat, and that's good. Amen. He was sitting, no doubt, and in his front porch, and you know, kind of looking out there. And all of a sudden, he saw these men appear, and they were untying his animal. Well, I guess if he had any Indian blood in him like myself, he must have jumped up real quick and wanted to know what's going on. I mean, a donkey was a very valuable thing. Today it doesn't seem that there is any value in a donkey. But back then, and I'm going to share that with you a little bit later on as we go, was a valuable thing. And he got up and he ran out probably and he met these men. He said, what in the world are you all doing? Loosing my donkey. And he said, the Master, or the Lord, had need of him. I wonder, what is your donkey? What is the thing that probably you, like this man, cherish? I mean, a donkey was no small thing, though. A donkey was to this man as what we probably have today. They were burden-bearing animals.
which meant they could have transported things. They were doing the job what a truck would do today. And he says, what are you loosing the donkey for? And they said, the master or the Lord hath need of him. And that's all. That's the end of the story. And they took the donkey and went their way. Now I believe in my heart that this man, no doubt, was a believer in the Lord. Now when you go back and you read concerning Bethany and Bedford, you will realize that these were small suburbs of Jerusalem. They were small communities. And it's no big thing. I mean, you just about know everybody in a small community, especially if that person is a prominent one. You go back and you study the scripture, you would realize it wasn't many days before that Jesus was down there visiting with Mary and Martha. Remember Lazarus had died. Remember he was buried. And Jesus now comes on the scene. I guess everybody knew that Mary and Martha's best friend was the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder who's your best friend? Huh? I tell you something, it's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ and for him to be our best friend. Okay. I went to the airport to pick up a preacher sometime back in Barbados with my good friend. And the pastor or the preacher came in and we said to him, "My, you must have had a long wait in between your flights." He said, "Yes, it was a long wait, but I had a wonderful, wonderful time." And knowing my pastor friend, he started to laugh. He says, who you were fellowshipping with, man? He said, "You wouldn't believe it was me and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Boy, we had a great time." You say, how do you know that this man was a believer? Well, there are many things that people suggest here, and I want to share these three suggestions with you. Number one, for this man to allow his donkey to be given to the Lord, it is suggested it was an Eastern hospitality. You know what I believe? Christian people ought to be hospitable.
Amen.
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 We should never come to that place where we shut up our bowels of compassion.
Yes.
Especially to those of the household of faith. And it was an Eastern hospitality, especially at Passover. It is said the locals knew that they needed to lend what they could to their visiting countrymen. Therefore, loaning the donkey was a common hospitality. Secondly, some suggest that this would have been an honor to let a distinguished rabbi ride your beast. In other words, they allow them to take the donkey as a matter of pride. My, you don't understand. My little donkey here, he carried Rabbi so-and-so up to Jerusalem. It was like a feather in the cap for that farmer or that owner of that donkey. And then thirdly says, some others suggest that perhaps Jesus had arranged for the use of a donkey which much earlier and used the password, "The Lord hath need of him." Well, while all of these might be true, I honestly believe that this is not the case. I believe this man was a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, no doubt in my heart, he must have seen the miracles and what the Lord had done. No doubt he must have been there many a times when Jesus was in Bethany at Bedford, and he must have given his heart to the Lord. You say, "Preacher, what evidence you have?" Well, number one, he did not ask these two men who came to get his donkey, "How long do you need my donkey?" Sometimes, you know, we begin to argue with God when God begins to deal with our hearts. And instead of saying, "Take it," we begin to wrestle with the Lord. He didn't wrestle with the Lord. He didn't ask, "How long you need my donkey? How far will you travel with my donkey? Will you make sure that he is cared for? Will you bring him back when you're finished?" He didn't say, all right, put your signature here on this rental form. He said the master or the Lord had need of him, and he allowed that donkey to go. What is your donkey tonight? What it is that God has been dealing with you about? It might could be your children. It might could be a job. It might could be the resources. It might could be the abilities that God has given to you. Many a times we talk about missions week and we talk about stewardship week. Listen, stewardship is not about money alone.
Yeah, that's right.
Stewardship is about managing the resources and the gifts and the blessings that God has given to us for His honor and for His glory.
Amen.
You know, sometimes when I hear messages on giving, it doesn't bother me. I've learned a long time ago, when you pelt a stone in a pack of dogs, the one that howls the most is the one that's hit. You all with me? So it doesn't bother me when people preach about giving, my friend. I remember going to the bank the other day, about a year and a half ago, and I wanted to change my vehicle to get something a little more comfortable, because getting in and out of the car was a major problem for both my wife and myself, and so we needed something a little higher. I got to perform my invoice. I took it to the bank. The bank said to me, they said, Mr. Ramasal, you have to get two things for us. By the way, he asked me first of all, he said, where do you get these prices? I said, well, there's what you call the Lord's price and a customer price. And I got the Lord's price on this thing. He said, listen, all I need from you real quick is a bank statement and a job letter. And I looked at the manager and I said, a bank statement I could get, but a job letter I cannot get. He said, what do you mean you can't get a job letter? I said, sir, there's no courier services operating from heaven to down here. I don't work for man, I work for God. He said, my preacher, come on out here. You know what I'm talking. Go and get a letter from the church. I'm saying tonight that, first of all, this man realized that a true believer is willing to give what he has to the Lord.
Amen.
And by the way, I'm not talking about money alone. But a true believer is willing to give what he has to the Lord. As I said, a donkey in his day and time really was like what a truck is to many of us today. And he was willing to give that. A donkey was used to care for the land, just like we would use tractors today. He was willing to give that. A donkey was a means of transportation to fill the need of what cars do today. And he was willing to give that to the Lord. I do not know what is your donkey. But whatever is your donkey this evening, I trust that you will be willing enough to say, Lord, here it is. I'm giving it to you. God may have dealt with your heart about some area or something, and you are struggling with it. You know, Angela and them can bear me out on this one. We had a man in our community that we used to call Uncle Deffy. You all remember him? Mr. Rizal. Uncle Debbie had a couple men working for him. One of the fellows got broke during the week and he needed a little extra money. So he went up to Uncle Debbie. He had a hearing aid on one side. And he went up to Uncle Debbie and he said, Uncle Debbie, I need $5 borrowed. He went by the hearing aid side. He said, huh? He said, come in this ears. He went over on this ears. He said, Uncle Debbie, I want $10 borrowed. He said, come back in the $5 deal. You know how many of us are like Uncle Deffy today? We have a $20 pocket and we have a $1 pocket. And God touches our heart about a need. God touches our heart about giving. And we come, we say, Lord, all right, I'm going to go in the $1 pocket. God said, go in the $20 pocket. He said, God said, you say, God, I can't go in the $20 pocket. I'm going to go in the $1 pocket. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, what I'm saying today, we need to understand that all that we have, we must be willing to understand this evening that all that we have belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
Secondly, a true believer knows that what we have, we must give to the Lord. It is one thing to know that it belongs to the Lord, but it's another thing to know that we need to give it to the Lord. You know, oftentimes I hear people say in my country, but preacher, I don't have a whole lot. And that's true. But God never asked us to give to Him what we don't have.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
I tell you all, this brother, this preacher brother of mine in Guyana, last January, had a major stroke. And the general hospital in Guyana was not doing him good. They need to remove him from there and put him in a private hospital. They called me right away and they told me what's going on. I said, we're going to try to help you all. We set a Sunday to take up a love offering. Now you got to know me now. I like to beg my people. And I stood up there and I begged with him and I told him, I said, look, this Sunday coming, we're going to take up a special offering to help this brother in Guyana. I called the men that Sunday morning. We were to take up the offering. I said, listen, fellas, we probably might get somewhere about 800 to 1,000, maybe 1,200. But we're not going to give that brother nothing less than 1,500. You all agree with me? I tell you, sometimes, you know, I feel like we don't have the faith that we need to have. That Sunday when I asked the treasurer what we collected in the offering, she told me, Pastor, $4,550.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
We must be willing to give what we have to the Lord.
Yeah.
I get to thinking of Moses. God didn't ask Moses to give anything spectacular. He said, Moses, all I want from you is the rod that you have, that walking stick, that staff. Seem to be very insignificant, but God uses the small, the insignificant things to accomplish His plan and His purpose. If you and I are willing to give it to Him. I get to thinking of Rahab. What Rahab had. Rahab gave a little corner spot on the rooftop to the two men of God. And God used that and blessed it. Huh? You think of David. Little David going home there to visit with his brothers. Just to carry a little meal. What David had? A slingshot. Seemed to be insignificant, didn't it? Against a great army of the Philistine. But when that little insignificant thing we give and is in the hand of God, He can bring down the giants of the world.
Amen.
You think of the woman at Zarephath. All she had was a little oil and a little flour. But she gave it to make a meal for the man of God. I think many a times we can learn a great lesson there. For many of us, it is me come first instead of the Lord and what God has placed in our hearts.
Yeah.
When she became willing, when she became obedient, when she gave what she had, God took it and multiplied it. We're going to see a little bit about that a little bit later on. The young boy in the New Testament, all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he gave it. And God blessed it.
Yeah.
And fed a multitude. It is like this great intellectual who was trying to
confused a little boy about that situation. And he said it was not 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was 2 loaves and 5 fishes. He said, "Sir, I don't care what you say. It still is a miracle that God could take 2 loaves and 5 fishes and feed a multitude."
Amen.
Like the other story I read concerning the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. This man said that it was a sandbank that they crossed on, and it had water only ankle height. He said, "My God is still a great God. If he could take water ankle height and drunk chariots."
Huh?
The little things that you and I are willing to give to God and see how God can take it and use it for his glory. It belongs all to him. Everything. Let me bring home something a little closer tonight. Sometimes we don't think of it. And I thank God for the children he has given to me. I was in Surrey, Virginia, a while back. And the folks in the Sunday school class, they were questioning me after my testimony that I had given. And one lady said to me, she said, "Pastor, how many children you have?" I said, "I have too many." Anybody have too many children? Say, "How much is too many?" I said, 4, ma'am. I'm going to tell you the truth. My wife and I, we had 2 kids. We were happy. We were going along merrily in life. 9 years after the second one, boy, tell the son, some women could be mean. Oh, she came and she had twins now. So, you know, So when I tell people I have 4 children, they laugh sometimes, you know. And the lady turned around, she said, "How old is your oldest one?" I said, "Ma'am, she'll be 37 coming up." She said, "But you only look like you're 42 years. And I said, "Well, that's great, amen." But let me bring this thing home a little closer. God has given us children. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift from the Lord.
Amen.
I have 4 children. I have 3 grandchildren. My grandchildren lives right across the street from me, and if I don't see them one day, I go across and get them and bring them. But you know what? I said a long, long, long time ago, "God, if you was to call my children to go to the furthest corner of the world to be involved in your work, I'll be happy to have them home creating problems."
Mm-hmm.
We must be willing to give our children to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brother of mine, he's gone home to be with the Lord. And I remember when his first daughter came to me, she walked the aisle and she took my hand and she said, "Pastor, I want to surrender my life and I want to go to Bible school. I want to serve God." Well, the mom came back and she said, "My daughter cannot do that. I want my daughter to be X, Y, and Z. I want her to have a career. I don't want her going to Bible school. What kind of a career is she going to have going to Bible school? What kind of money is she going to make?" Well, it wasn't many years after that girl turned her back away from God and lived a rebellious life. Thank God today she's living for him. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. When God places that burden upon our hearts, we must be willing to say, "Lord, I'm willing to let them go." They're not ours. He just lent them to us for a season. Understand, the believer is willing to give what he has to the Lord. The believer knows what he has belongs to the Lord. Our time, our talents,
our resources, our jobs, our interests, everything belongs to Him.
Amen.
Everything. Lastly and in closing, the believer knows that the value of what he has, what we have, is multiplied when it is placed in the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, I can stand here tonight and tell you story after story of real life experiences when I obeyed the Lord, how God multiplied my needs, or supplied my needs. And just this one probably will suffice. I had just given the invitation. Close in prayer. And a man walked down the aisle. He said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you for a while." I took him in the office and I sat down. And I began to talk to him. He says, "Listen, I've come to you because I need financial help." He says, "I'm a big gambler." He says, "I gamble out all my salary. I gamble out my wedding ring. I gamble just about everything I have. I'm broke. I have nothing. My wife has left me. And I have 4 children. Help me, please." I had $8 in my pocket. And I said to myself, "Well, after church, I'm going to put $8 gas so I could come back to church tonight." I struggled with that for a while, but God said to me, "Give the man the money." I reached in my pocket, I gave the man the $8, he promised to come back tonight. He walked out of the office and went away, and as I was coming out, there was an elderly lady, we call her Nanny, like grandma. This was a post-pension check she got. She came and she hugged me, and she put $20. In my hand. But that's not what I really want to get at. That man came back the night and he gave his heart to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
God takes what we have, and when we give it to Him, He multiplies that and turns around and gives it back to us. Don't you be stingy on God. I don't know how many times God has done that in my life. Just because I was willing to obey Him, He had multiplied what I have given to Him. Now, you know, a lot of people in my village, or maybe my family members, I know for sure, thinks that I'm a rich man. And you all know what? I don't tell them nothing different. I'm determined in my heart a long time ago that I am not going to pour out my God. He's been too good to me.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, I don't know what you're doing here tonight. What it is that God has burdened your heart about, that you need to be like this man and say, "Master, you can have it. You can have it." Maybe some children you have. Maybe some resources you have. Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it is a gift that God has given to you that you are withholding and not using it for the Lord. Maybe it is a voice that you can use to stand here and sing to the glory of God, and you are withholding that voice. I don't know. But whatever is your donkey tonight, I encourage you to become like this man. And say, "You can have it, Lord. You can have it." That's why our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God tonight, as we come before you, you know the hearts of your people. You know their needs tonight. You know each one of us. We pray, Spirit of God, that you would work in hearts. Touch lives today. It might be, Lord, that you have called some to serve you in a particular way, Lord, and they are withholding their service to you. They are withholding their talents, the gifts that you have given to them. Lord, they are withholding that. But may tonight, Lord, they release and they come and say, here it is, Master. You are my Master. You are my Lord. I want you to have my donkey tonight for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name.